Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Nick Howes, the social media director and the panelist wrangler for Space Fest. Space Fest is an annual festival in Tucson that is geared towards space enthusiasts. Anyone interested in space exploration, space flight, astronomy, you name it, there's something at Space Fest for everybody who's interested in mankind stepping beyond our home world and staying there a while. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Oh, very nice to be on it. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So was that an accurate overview of Space Fest?
It's a kind of one of a kind event. I mean, there's plenty of astronaut kind of gatherings. There's things like the ASF, for example, the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation, which has been going for many, many years, which is kind of an astronaut autograph show. Space Fest is very, very different. It's kind of the brainchild of one man, really, and his family, actually, a guy called Kim Paul, who is a very internationally well-renowned space artist. So he's done a lot of paintings of space flight and space activities over the years. He's become friends with a lot of the Apollo astronauts. So people like Alan Bean, for example, who was on Apollo 12, second mission to land on the moon. He was like one of the early kind of people who really got involved in Space Fest through the art, because Alan Bean is a very, very famous painter as well in his own right, and has done some absolutely stunning depictions of his own time on the moon. And it kind of expanded, started out about 8-9 years ago as a small kind of conference. And it has been in Tucson for most of its lifetime. It moved to San Diego 1 year. The last Space Fest was actually in Pasadena. Principally, one of the reasons for that was that we had great access to people at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So we got an awful lot of guests and invited speakers over from there. But it's really kind of morphed into this huge event now. Hundreds and hundreds of people always come along. We've got a huge number of astronauts, loads and loads of people who walked on the moon, who flew to the moon. Obviously, there's only 12 people who've ever walked on the moon, and not all of them are still with us. Only 24 ever went to the moon, and again, not all of them are with us. We've got astronauts from those programs. We've got astronauts in the past. We've had people from the Mercury spaceflight program. At the last Space Fest, for example, just before he sadly passed away, we had Scott Carpenter. We've had pretty much every living moonwalker at the event over the last 7 Space Fests that there've been. This year it's really special because it technically, one of the things that they've said is it may be the last one. Principally because Kim himself has been suffering for some time now with an illness called ataxia, which is kind of quite degenerative, and his health has been failing. So the family have taken a decision that they're really going to put a lot of effort into one more big kind of send-off, as it were. Not so much a send-off. There's a plan that we may take Space Fest into new directions over the coming years. But this one, I mean, all of the astronauts who walked on the moon, there isn't a single astronaut who was on the Apollo program who walked on the moon who's under the age of 80 now. Mm-hmm. So it's getting more and more difficult to get these guys to come along, obviously due to their own age and health and you know, various other factors. But this year we've really managed to pull off a huge coup, and that we've got people like Michael Collins from Apollo 11, Jim Lovell from Apollo 13, we've got Fred Hayes from Apollo 13, we've got Alan Bean, we've got Charlie Duke from Apollo 16, we have, the list is endless, just a huge number. And then it's not just the Apollo astronauts, we've got Skylab astronauts, the Apollo Soyuz project astronauts, and tons of shuttle astronauts as well. And on top of that, an absolutely huge gathering of world-class astronomy and science speakers. People like Amber Strawn, who's now, I believe, one of the deputy directors of astrophysics for NASA. People like Alan Hale, Thomas Bopp, who famously discovered the comet Hale-Bopp all those years ago. David Levy, who again famously discovered Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet there. We've got just this huge gathering of just immense speaking talent and astronauts. So that's kind of Space Fest. On top of that, there's an art show. So people like Mike Collins, the Apollo 11 astronaut, he's also a painter, so they kind of display their own art there. We've got a STEAM event, which is STEM and art. So lots of stuff to do for the kids. And if the kids come along and participate in the STEAM event, they get free access and free entry into Space Fest itself, which is another nice thing. We've got auctions there. We've got a star party there. We've got movie showings happening there. We 2 years ago, we had the kind of world preview premiere, as it were. It wasn't the official premiere, but we had a world preview of the Gene Cernan movie, Last Man on the Moon, which was hugely successful at Space Fest, and is now, I believe, in the top 20 in the global iTunes charts in terms of a film. Over things like The Hateful Eight and, you know, movies of that kind of caliber. It's amazing how well this film is doing. So we've got that showing. We've got a film by a guy called Jeffrey Roth called The Wonder of It All showing. And we've also got a very special, can't say too much about it at the moment, we've got a really special film premiere happening again at Space Fest this year, which is going to hopefully blow everyone's socks off as well. We've got live music, we've got a band playing in the evenings, we've got drinks receptions, banquets. You get to choose which astronaut you want to sit with for lunch. It's just this unique event, and nobody gets kind of all airs and graces about it. Everybody is really, really down to earth, and pardon the pun, but you know, you're dealing with guys, there's only 12 who've ever done what they've done, and to just be able to talk to them just as normal people, there's no celebrity, there's no I'm better than you, everybody's just great, really, really friendly atmosphere. So that's Space Fest.
It sounds like a completely full weekend for anybody who's attending. It's June 9th through 12th in Tucson at, what is it, the Star?
Star Pass Resort, the Marriott Star Pass, yeah.
Right. And it sounds like you've got panels and speakers from everywhere that's connected to space travel and spaceflight.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, the panels, just to give you an idea in terms of the panels, one of the most popular panels we have is the Apollo panel, where we get kind of people like Brian Cox, for example, the internationally renowned astronomer and speaker and TV star. He was the moderator of the Apollo panel at the last Space Fest. Him and a lady called Carolyn Porco, who's one of the mission people on the Cassini spacecraft. I mean, really, really top-notch panel moderators and speakers. Working on the Apollo panel. This year we've got a flight controller panel, so we've got people who put these guys on the moon, people like Cy Liebergott, for example. If you've seen the movie Apollo 13, he's played by Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard, in the movie. The actual Cy Liebergott is there. He's like, he turns up and he's going to be on the flight controller panel along with Jerry Bostick and Glenn Lully and Jerry Griffin and all these people that were there when all of these missions were kind of landed on the moon. So the flight controller panel is going to be unmissable. We've got a Skylab panel, which has been moderated by a lady called Emily Carney, who runs a Space Hipsters group on Facebook. That's going to be a huge one, because Skylab's one of those great missions that a lot of people kind of forget about. It came, you know, between Apollo and the space shuttle era. And it was America's first great space station. So it's one of those things that, you know, using the Apollo hardware, they put up a space station that did incredible science way before the ISS. So this is going to be a good one. We've got a space shuttle panel as well with people like Eileen Collins on that. It's just, yeah, it's going to be crazy. And then a special one we've kind of really focused on this year is the inspiration of women in science. Because for young girls in particular coming into science, I've got two young daughters, and young girls coming into science, they kind of get put off because they think it's all, you know, through men in lab coats and what have you. So we're really kind of throwing a lot of the top female scientists onto a panel to say, hey, look, you know, we're doing some amazing stuff as well. So that's a good one. We've got the Comet panel with Hale and Bopp and David Levy and Jim Scotty, who's based in Arizona as well, and Richard Kowalski. I mean, legendary comet hunters and finders. A space history panel. And we've got a really fun one called Get Your Ass to Mars, which is kind of all the leading speakers in the Mars thing, basically talking about why we should be going to Mars. So, and that's just the panels. And then on top of that, we've got tours. We've got tours going to the Pima Air and Space Museum, the Titan Missile Museum, and also up to the Kitt Peak Observatory. So it really is a full-on, you know, budget yourself for about 12 to 14 hours a day.
Wow.
But it's really full-on. And nobody complains. Everybody loves it. Everybody comes away at the end of the day just thinking, wow, you know, what was that?
Well, I have fond memories of Skylab because I grew up in the shadow of Goddard Space Flight Center, so...
Oh, I've got good friends there. Well, Goddard, we've got Amber Strong from Goddard. Like I said, she was formerly the deputy PI on the James Webb Space Telescope. And she's a good friend. And Ed Razak, who a lot of people may not have heard of, but Ed is one of the guys who made the Hubble possible. So all of the Hubble servicing missions, pretty much, Ed was involved in. He designed some of the systems, worked with the astronauts on the EVAs, basically made the repair of the Hubble possible. And he's coming over with Hubble repair tools.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna be like crazy seeing this stuff in the flesh. And for memorabilia fans, if you're into that side of things, there's some amazing stands there with like really good flown spaceflight memorabilia. There's a guy called Jim Busby who comes along, and he's got bits of Apollo 6, 7, all sorts of different missions. He's got film props from the movie Apollo 13. It's wild. And then Jeff Notkin, who you know very well, Aerolite Meteorites are going to be there. Huge number of meteorites. Him and Steve Arnold, so both of the Meteorite Men, are there giving a talk. And Jeff is this year's kind of keynote speaker and panel moderator. So Jeff, along with Andrew Chaikin, who was the author of one of the finest books on the Apollo space program, and Mark Larson, who's a kind of really famous radio DJ, they're going to be doing the banquet speeches and the auction for Ataxia. They're handling that. And then Jeff is also moderating the Apollo panel. So no pressure, Jeff, but he's going to have some fun with that one.
Awesome. So what kind of, astronomy-related or exploration-related panels do you think are the ones people shouldn't miss? I mean, are there panels on... You said there was a panel on Mars. Is there a panel on Pluto yet?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, on the comets, the comet panel is actually called the Comets and Minor Planet panel. So we've got Dr. Leslie Young, who is on the New Horizons mission. She's going to be on that panel. We're going to basically try and embrace the whole of solar system exploration and the discoveries that they've had from, say, the Rosetta spacecraft, New Horizons, Dawn spacecraft. We've got Dr. Mark Raymond's going to be on it as well. So we've got a real kind of cross-section of missions being discussed on that panel. And then the Mars panel, we're going to be talking about both the European missions and things like the Curiosity rovers, Spirit and Opportunity, the whole kind of history of Mars, as well as where hopefully we're going with the future with SLS and the future of US spaceflight. So in terms of the speakers, the science speakers, we got Alfred McEwen, who's a like really world-renowned planetary geologist. As I said, Leslie Young's going to be there. Beatrice Muller, she's local at the Planetary Science Institute. She's going to be talking about comets. That's just so many. It really is. We've got Ron Garans coming along, who's going to be talking about the high-altitude balloon flights. Peter Smith, who's one of the principal scientists on the Phoenix lander, and also does a lot of work on the high-rise camera, which is currently orbiting Mars. We've got Neil Armstrong's son as well. He's coming along, Rick Armstrong. So he's going to be part of the Apollo panel. It's just huge. It really is. I'm just going through the list of speakers and it really is enormous. Chuck Dietrich, who's a flight dynamics officer and retrofire officer on Apollo. Loads of authors as well. Haven't even touched on the author list yet. We've got a huge number of authors. Like I said, Andrew Chaikin, who wrote A Man on the Moon, which is pretty much the definitive guide to Apollo. Colin Burgess, who's written a ton of books. Amy Shira Title, she's coming along, who's just written a book called Breaking the Chains of Gravity. We've got Rusty Schweikart from Apollo 9. He's also there talking about comets and asteroids and the B612 mission. Jani Radabo, who she's like the most traveled amazing person you'd ever wish to meet, goes all over the world kind of looking at sand dune modeling, for example, looking at analogies with Titan and Mars. Carter Emmett, who works under Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's going to be there talking about data visualization and kind of explaining how missions can be kind of modeled with computers. It is huge. Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's hard not to get excited when you have all these people in one special arena that involves such a huge undertaking. And that's why I want to let people know about this gathering, and hopefully you will continue it beyond this year. But for people who can't get to Tucson next week, what are there going to be, like, highlight audio or video that they might be able to view or purchase?
There'll be videos taken at the event. I mean, one of the things, some of the speakers, obviously, they give their talks all over the world. So some of the speakers don't actually like to be filmed, but some of the panels we do tend to film. I mean, there are video highlights. We don't tend to charge for it so much. It's more just sharing snippets of the event, because it's one of those things, you have to be there. And I've said this to a lot of my British friends. We've got a kind of Facebook group that we kind of got a lot of Brits and Europeans involved in, because I first went about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was only a friend of mine who said, look, just come over and see what it's all about. And it's until you're there, you don't really appreciate how enormous it is in terms of just the level of people that are there. I mean, a couple of years ago, as I said, Brian Cox had come over, and he was invited as a speaker and as a panel moderator. And for such an internationally known TV star, you know, he's done huge stuff with the BBC all around the world. You know, he's done Wonders of the Universe and Wonders of the Solar System and various other TV shows. And for him to be walking around that show almost like a 5-year-old in a candy store, seriously, it was just so brilliant to watch, because he was just there in awe of people like, you know, Gene Cernan was there, the last man on the moon, all of these Apollo heroes. And he was walking around with this big picture and he was almost shaking, saying, they've signed it for me. And then just going to the Starbucks, there's a Starbucks in the basement of the hotel, and just having a coffee, and literally just, he couldn't get over what an incredible event it was. And it's that that I can only say to anyone who's listening, it's only like $20, $30 to get in. It really isn't much. If you can consider how much a concert ticket is to see a pop group who may have disappeared within a year. That's the kind of context. You know, how much is it to go to the cinema now in the US for a premiere? It's got to be $20, $30. You know, if you take into account popcorn, all this. Yeah. For that amount of money, you can spend the whole day. You don't have to spend any more. You can literally just go in for $20, $30, depending on which day you come along, and just walk around and talk to these people who've walked on the moon. Shake their hands, say hi. You know, if you want to buy autographs, you can buy autographs. If you want to buy memorabilia, there's all that kind of stuff there. If people do want to spend extra money. But if you just want to experience it, it isn't much. And for that amount of money, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's, if you're in Arizona at all, just drive down to Tucson for that weekend. If you can get in, you know, for 1 or 2 days and bring your kids. Because the way the astronauts are with the kids is mesmerizing. People like Gene Cernan, when kids come up to his stand, and he's been doing this now for 45 years, pretty much. You know, the guy was on the Gemini missions in the 60s, in the mid to late 60s. He then flew on Apollo 10, which almost landed on the moon. And then, you know, he's Apollo 17. He was the last man on the moon. Watching him with children is just unbelievable. The way he inspires them. It's one of those things that you just really have to see in the flesh. So, yeah, there'll be videos, but YouTube won't be the same. No.
Well, your enthusiasm, I hope, has convinced a few of our listeners who are in Arizona or driving distance to Tucson to check it out. Again, SpaceFest is happening June 9th through 12th. In Tucson at the Star Pass Resort. You can get more information at the website, spacefest.info. There are also SpaceFest on Facebook, SpaceFest on Twitter. There are links to a Vimeo page and a YouTube page where you can check out some highlights and more. But please, if you're in the area and you want a different way to spend a day, head on down there. I think you won't regret it. Well, thank you, Nick, for your time today.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really awesome.
And is there anywhere else they can find more info on SpaceFest online?
Yeah, the website's good. Twitter as well, at SpaceFest. If they want to follow us on Twitter, we're constantly posting up new news. I mean, the interesting one a few weeks ago when we announced that Michael Collins was coming, it was almost like we'd announced the whole event again. Literally, the bookings went another notch up. It was just incredible. And there's still tickets available. You can still come on the day. There's no problem at all. Some of the specialist events have now completely sold out. We'll say that. But just come along and just experience it. That's all I can reiterate again and say.
Excellent. Well, we will have links to the website and all of the social media destinations where you can chat with Nick and a few of the other people putting together SpaceFest. Please go there, have a good time. And again, thank you for your time today, Nick.
You're welcome. Thank you, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary from Jacksonville, and I just wanted to thank both Summer and Tim. Love you guys. For the wonderful interview with David Gerald in this 50th anniversary year. I don't hear that much talk from many of the original people that were involved in the show. Of course, you get the cast members, but not so much the other people, the people who, you know, did the dirty work, so to speak, wrote the episodes and the like. So thank you for paying homage to him by having the interview, as well as giving us a sense of what it was like. I particularly enjoyed his sort of thoughts on Gene Roddenberry, and definitely he painted him as a man, not as some mythical great bird of the galaxy or someone so horribly flawed that he wasn't redeemable. He had his good points and his bad points, and I really appreciated David's insight into that. So keep up the good work. I'm starting to listen regularly again, and I'm really enjoying it. So keep it up. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Hi, Gary. It's good to hear from you. In my book, no genre podcast has truly, truly arrived until Gary from Jacksonville has you on his speed dial. Once that happens and the voicemails come in, the comments come in, that's when, as a podcast, you can say, damn it, I have arrived. Look at this. This is awesome. And it is. It's more than a little bit of awesome. So, hi Gary, how you doing? Good to hear your voice again. There are a lot of conventions and gatherings coming up. It is the summer convention season. This weekend we got Phoenix Comic Con going on. Next weekend, of course, is Space Fest. There are a handful of other cons coming up. I think Balticon actually just happened already. I think that was a week or two ago. And then, of course, the granddaddy of them all, San Diego Comic-Con, coming up in July. And then the great uncle of them all, Dragon Con, comes up at the end of the summer season. So hopefully we'll get some coverage for those cons a little bit. Be planning to talk to some more science-related guests about various projects, both Earth-based science and space-based science. We have some comic book stuff coming up. We have some TV stuff coming up because we are coming into the next wave of television shows. I am still trying to get Winona Earp people. I really am. That show is unreal. Completely unreal. It's 12 Monkeys time. Terry Metalis, I'm really trying to get him on the show. I had Travis Fickett on last year, so I figured this year it's Terry's turn. And of course, coming up just a month from now, we have Dark Matter and Killjoys back on the air. I love me some Killjoys. Have I mentioned that before? Yeah, I think I have. We have some more psychology talk coming up. If you remember, last fall we talked to Dr. Travis Langley on his Star Wars psychology book. Travis has been a lot busier than I knew about. I knew he had mentioned a Trek book and a Who book coming up. So there's Doctor Who in psychology and Star Trek psychology coming up. But just released was Captain America versus Iron Man psychology, and also just released is Game of Thrones psychology. Both of those books arrived in my mailbox this week, so I'm completely ecstatic about that. Darren and Noah are busy at Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con this weekend, but I know we have plans to do a Marvel Cinematic Universe recap of phase two going into phase three at basically what's gone on so far. And I think because of the crossover, we're going to include Deadpool and X-Men in that because it would just be fun to add those to the mix. Even though they aren't official MCU titles, they're Marvel characters. They are Marvel characters with a huge fan base, Marvel characters that we love, and some of them are being handled brilliantly, others not so much. So we've definitely got a lot to talk about there. My thing is the changes with Netflix's series. Jessica Jones and Daredevil have come out in the past 6 months. There are teasers, I think, for Luke Cage already out there. I don't know if Iron Fist is still going ahead. I know the Defenders are and the Inhumans aren't. Not sure what's going on there. Plus, there was the news/rumor that Punisher would get his own Netflix series just because of how awesome Jon Bernthal was in Daredevil Season 2. And that's actually what rumor has it pushed aside Iron Fist. So there's a lot of stuff changing that I'm not even 100% sure about anymore. But that won't stop us from watching, will it? Of course not. Doctor Strange, I'm looking forward to coming up this fall. And that ties into more of the television, the Netflix series, than it does the actual feature films in the MCU. And I'm wondering if they're going to use Black Panther and Doctor Strange to create a stronger bridge between the television shows, which includes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the actual feature films. So I think we've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 coming out next year, along with the Black Panther movie, I think. No. Is it Black Panther or is it Thor? I don't remember which one's coming up first, but Thor Ragnarok and the Black Panther movie are coming up. I just don't know off the top of my head which one's coming out first, but we may have to split this into a double header type of show, because I know we can talk on Marvel characters and their movies and shows all day long. We'd have to sit back at a pub with a pint or a couple of pitchers and just keep on talking. I think we could do that. I have to throw that out there as an idea. Anyway, that will do it for this episode. If, like Gary, you want to leave a comment on the current Star Trek coverage we have, or anything else we've already talked about, that number is 602-635-6976. Go ahead, leave a message. We have a lot more Star Trek stuff coming up because it is the 50th anniversary, something to be marked. We have a handful of people writing opinion pieces about Star Trek coming up through June and July, at least. And if there are any writers or columnists who are Star Trek fans out there and you want to put out an opinion piece about Star Trek and what it's meant to you over the years or to the sci-fi pop culture that you hold so dearly to your heart, send me an email. summer@sliceofscifi.com and pitch it to me. We'll see where we can go. Leave a review for us on iTunes if you are an iTunes subscriber. You can also listen to us on Stitcher and TuneIn. Working on the Google Play. Just saying. You can also follow us on Twitter @sliceofscifi or @sliceofscifiTV. Check us out on Google Plus and feel free to leave comments on some of the video reviews and reports that Noah and Darren are filing over on our YouTube page. Just go to youtube.com/sliceofscifi, you'll land on the right place. Of course, the websites are sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, kickassmysticninjas.com, popculturegeeks.com, and it's comicbookday.com. Got a little bit of something for everyone. We are getting a few more author interviews over at writersafterdark.com along with the book reviews, so feel free to check those out. I'm debating whether or not to fire up a dedicated horror site for more generic horror or to reboot Zombie Channel. I don't know yet. That's all up in the air. Or just keep mixing sci-fi and horror right here, because the Death Scribe stuff, I have so much fun with that. It's unbelievable. And we may have a little surprise for you regarding Death Scribe 2015 and 2016 coming up, so keep your ear to the ground there. And anyone who lives in Chicago, check out the folks at Wild Claw Theater. What they're doing is unique and fun, especially if you like horror. Thank you to everyone who's supporting the show. Every dime does help to keep the websites and the media online for everyone to enjoy. If you want to add your donations, you can become a patron. Feel free to support everything that we're doing here with a pledge over at Patreon. patreon.com/sliceofscifi. All of your donations, all of your pledges help support everything being done here. All of your pledges and donations help out a great deal. They help pay all the bills for the web hosting and the media hosting and the various fees that are associated with. As always, thanks to my patron saints of geek rock music, Cy Fried, for their lovely, lovely new theme music that's gracing the show these days. If you want to check out some more geek rock by these guys, feel free to head on over there to their website, cy-friedband.com, and pick up an album or two if you like what you hear. Tell them Summer sent ya. But that'll do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.